My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date is the 10th of October 2009 and it's now 11:24 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from, please?
My name is Stephen Morgan. I am 29 at the moment and I'm from Hackney via Liverpool via Australia and a little bit of Norwich as well.
So, how are you feeling?
Not bad. A little bit nervous about what the crowd's going to be like out there, but yeah, good.
Can you tell me a bit more about your journey and how you've come to be here via Liverpool and Norwich?
Well, I was born in Australia and both my parents are Scottish, so I'm lucky enough to have dual citizenship, which is always handy. And basically came over with my partner in 2003. And her family had moved back to Liverpool, so we moved to Liverpool and then sort of flitted back and forth a few times and currently sort of living in London at the weekends and living in Norwich during the week because I'm studying for a master's in film archiving. So,
where were you born in Australia?
Adelaide. No, that's not true. I was born in Mount Barker, but I'm from Adelaide. It's a reflex, I just say I'm from Adelaide, but yeah, Mount Barker, so it's a sort of country town with a population of about 7,000 or 8,000, I think. It's quite a small community, but I grew up, the town I grew up in, the population is called Kanmantoo, which sounds like it's in India or somewhere, but it's not. The population is about 200, I think, there, so it was quite a small community.
How old were you when you moved?
I lived there, well, it was two towns quite close to each other. I actually went to school in the town next door, which is called Callington, which is named after the Callington in Cornwall, because it was a copper mining town. And so I lived in one house in Kanmantoo until I was about 12 or 13, and then we moved to another property just outside Callington, and we were there for... I lived there until I moved to Adelaide, moved to the Big Smoke kind of thing, and that was when I was 20-odd. I actually lived in Woodside, which is another hills community, for a little while as well, but yeah, the proper move was down to Adelaide when I was, I think I must have been 19 or 20, so yeah.
Was that a bit of an eye-opener?
It was a little bit. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go to Adelaide quite a lot. I mean, where I grew up is only about an hour's drive, so it's not too far, and I remember sort of sitting in the back of the car and at night and looking up at the bright lights, which, you know, anyone who's been to Adelaide knows there's not a lot of bright lights, but for a kid from the country it was so it wasn't too bad, because by that stage I was going to Adelaide quite often to go to concerts and that sort of stuff anyway, so it was more of a relief, I think, finally being, you know, living there and it just been easier to do things, and I'd been studying as well, so it was easier to get to university and stuff like that. So
tell me more about your MA.
I'm doing an MA in film archiving. I did an undergrad in film studies, and worked on a couple of projects in the last couple of years of that, that dealt specifically with archival materials and working at the State Library of South Australia with archival film, and just sort of was really interested in it, very interested in film history and that sort of stuff. So. The course that I'm doing is the only course of its kind in the UK, and one of only, I think, as far as I know, a handful of courses in the world that do specifically film archiving. So, but I've only just started. I've only been doing it for 3 weeks now. So,
and what's your particular area of interest within
that? Part of my problem, I think, is I don't have a particular area of interest. I am just interested in film history as a whole, and cinema history, as in exhibition history. I'm quite interested actually in artists, film and video as well, so there's a little bit of that in there as well, but I'm easily interested when it comes to film, yeah.
What are you hoping to do afterwards?
That's a good question also. I'd like to work in some sort of role where it's using archives, allowing greater access to archives, whether it's through curating screening programs, Or setting up projects for artists to come in and use archival footage to create new works. I think, you know, that's hopefully where I'll be in a few years. Hopefully, but see how I go.
Are you planning to stay in Norwich, or are you going to move down to London for
I will be back down to London. My partner is here during the week, so she's here all week. But I will be moving back down, so it's just kind of a temporary thing going up there. But yeah, you never know, you know, where sort of work and that sort of stuff is going to take you. So yeah.
Just going back to tonight, can you remember how you first heard about this project?
We were talking about that earlier. It's a bit hazy. I don't know exactly. I mean, where I lived in Liverpool is Crosby, and Crosby Beach has one of Anthony Gormley's works. Beautiful, beautiful Iron Men there. I'm quite into art and that sort of stuff anyway. So I was familiar with his work. I think it was lots of different little things. I think when it was announced, I'm just trying to remember now, I don't know whether my partner was, she might have been working still at the Liverpool Biennial, and I think they'd gotten sort of information through about it. And then obviously it was in the media and stuff as well, so I don't know exactly how I found out. So.
What is it you like about the figures on Crosby Beach?
I think the thing that makes them really striking, and I think I've seen photos of them, sort of the same thing in other locations. I just really like the being that it's a tidal river. You can go down there at certain times of the day and you can almost not see any of them. And then obviously other times of the day, you go down there and there's no water, so you can see all of them. You can walk, you know, quite a way out, and sort of, you know, a good sort of couple hundred yards out onto the beach. I say beach. The mud flats is probably a better term. But I just like the fact that they're always sort of disappearing and reappearing, and it's just and the fact that they're sort of fairly constant thing. That, you know, unlike sort of the sand, they're not gonna go anywhere in a hurry, sort of thing. Hopefully, as long as they get funding to keep them there, that, you know, they definitely won't go in a hurry. But just in terms of a sort of solid object that's sort of immovable in that sense, but in another sense isn't, because it gets covered up every day and then, you know, reappears. So, yeah.
Why did you want to take part in this project?
In a general sense, just because it's such an experience to be able to sort of, to do this. I've always sort of been fascinated by London, even as a kid, you know, flicking through books and stuff. I've got a thing for cities, I think. I don't know whether it's because I grew up in the country, but London has always held a particular interest for me. I'd never been outside Australia before we came in 2003, so I'd never sort of seen it myself. And just something about the fact that, you know, that there's nothing on that plinth, and the fact that I would sort of get to stand up there for, you know, for an hour, is kind of interesting. Just a big part of it is just to get to see London from a different angle, especially, you know, having lived here for a little while now, just getting to see it, see it from a perspective that not many people have seen it from, and probably not many people will see it from, so, yeah.
How are you going to spend your time here?
I've brought a couple of cameras with me. I try to make sort of little films and stuff. So I've got a mini DV camera and also a Super 8 camera. I don't know how well the Super 8's going to work, being that it's middle of the night, but we'll see how we go with the lights and stuff. To sort of shoot some stuff and then see how it turns out, and maybe make a short work out of it, hopefully. Depending on time and everything else. So, yeah, that's the plan, but we'll see what happens.
Do you show any of your short films?
Stuff that I've made myself, I haven't. I've got a little bit of a background in video editing, so I have worked on stuff that's sort of done, you know, been shown around the place. My stuff has never really left my hard drive, kind of thing. partly because the stuff that I have made I don't think is, you know, is good enough. I do it sort of more for my own amusement, but I think eventually I'll start sort of getting stuff out there, and this I might sort of, being that it's a bit, it might be of interest to other people maybe, that I might sort of put it out there. But yeah, most of my time in sitting at a computer editing has been taken up by working on other people's stuff, so yeah, the stuff I do tend to do is not sort of gone anywhere yet, so yeah.
And if the archive footage that you're talking about, will you be accessing that digitally, or will you be using the original film?
I'd thought about using archival footage in there, but I don't know if, I'm not sure exactly whether I'm going to do that yet. Obviously there's all sorts of issues of copyright and stuff, you know, but yeah, it would be accessing stuff digitally if I did sort of do anything with it. It would most likely be digital stuff that's already been sort of transferred digitally, so yeah.
What is it about archive that really interests you? How is it fascinating?
I think one aspect of it is that when I was quite young, as I guess a lot of kids do, I wanted to be an explorer, you know, that's what kids do. And then as you get older, you think, oh, that's not really feasible. Everything's been discovered, which, you know, so you sort of think, oh, maybe I'll be an archaeologist. And then for me, the next step was, oh, maybe I'll be a geologist. And I think sort of only semi-consciously, I think there's a part of that in it. It's the fact that maybe I could be working in an archive and discovering, you know, a film that was previously thought to be lost, or even just cans of sort of amateur footage with just some really intriguing sort of slice of someone's history on there. And there's something about, it's almost for me a kind of modern form of archaeology, in a sense that if you're unearthing stuff that has been largely forgotten about for one reason or another. And yeah, and I think there's still scope for that, whereas, you know, I think a lot of you know, sort of speaking as a layman, but I imagine a lot of archaeology these days is fairly sort of prosaic. It's sort of excavating stuff that's sort of already, you know, it's not going to be a discovery of another Tutankhamun's tomb, you know. Well, there may be, but, you know, I don't, yeah, from that point of view, I think it's, there's a little bit of that in there for me, that it's being able to sort of discover something new that no one's ever sort of seen before. And I just like the physical aspect of film itself as well, the mechanics of it, and the ability it has to sort of make people sort of feel, you know, have different emotions and stuff, just because a group of people have put together something, you know, with all these sort of disparate elements, and then, you know, elicits certain emotions in people. I think that's really interesting, sort of thing. So it's a combination of the two, I think.
How do you feel about having a nighttime slot as opposed to a daytime?
I think it's good and it's bad. It has its, you know, obviously its advantages and its disadvantages. I think in terms of if I do sort of make a film with the stuff I record, it's going to be a very different thing to what it would be during the day. It's probably going to be a lot more focused on people. You know, I just, especially being that it's a Saturday night as well. I'm just happy to sort of be taking part. And I think if I was sort of asked to choose whether I wanted to go in the day, during the day or at night, I probably would have been unsure. I think from the perspective of being interested in the sort of life of cities, I think there's certainly two lives to every city. I think, you know, there's the daytime life and then there's the nighttime life. So I think from that perspective, the nighttime life may, you know, turn up some more interesting sort of visual things. So we'll see what happens.
Have you ever spent any time in Trafalgar Square before?
No sort of extended periods of time. I've never slept there or anything like that. But I've obviously initially you do the tourist things, and you come and marvel at the lions and all that sort of stuff. And I've been by, more recently I've been by a few times, you know, checking out people on the plinth and, you know, the different sort of events that happen. Also over the summer worked for a little bit in Leicester Square and caught the bus at Embankment, so I'd walk through, you know, almost every day. So, yeah, it's, I haven't, you know, it's always sort of, whenever we come to London when we weren't living here, it was always something that we would come back to, just because it is, it's Trafalgar Square kind of thing, so.
When did you find out you had your place on the plinth?
I think it must, I'm not exactly sure, it would have been probably a couple of months ago now, yeah. Actually, no, it wasn't even that long. It would have been about, 6 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. I'm not sure. it was when I was working at Leicester Square, actually. So, yeah, it would have been about 5 weeks ago.
Did you tell me?
I told my partner straight away. She was the one that sort of pushed me into doing it. We'd actually come to see a friend of ours from Liverpool who was up there, and when we were we didn't watch him because we were driving down that day and got here very late because there was lots of accidents on the motorway, so we actually missed him. But afterwards, we were watching someone else, and I sort of said, might be, initially I wanted to shoot a film and then edit it and then have a projector and project it, but being that there's no power access up there, that was obviously going to prove to be a bit difficult. But growing from that, she sort of pushed me along and said, you know, you should do it. And she actually filled the form out for me. It was kind of like, you're doing it. So I told her first, and I told Vic, because I was working as a runner for a film distribution company at the time. And Vic, the other runner, was sitting next to me, so I told him, sort of thing. It was more shock than anything else. I think I was a bit, you know, I wasn't expecting to sort of have my name pulled out of the hat, sort of thing. So.
Did your partner apply?
She didn't, actually. I don't. That's a good question. I'm not. You know, I just think she wasn't really sure what she would do up there.
But she thought it would appeal to you.
Yeah. She's a bit like that. I think she's, you know, I think she's like that as a person anyway. She thinks about other people a lot more than she probably does herself in that sense. So. Yeah, I don't know. It was very nice of her to do it, obviously, because it's happening now, sort of thing. But I think she just wasn't sure what she would do if she was up there for an hour, sort of thing. Whereas I'd had, you know, because we'd talked about it before, but then I'd obviously had a specific idea. So I think that, you know, that's where she sort of pushed me to do it, sort of thing. So, yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
Myself, it's never been my favourite pastime, describing myself.
Did you choose three words to go on your profile?
I actually didn't, because I have real trouble doing stuff like that, because I don't know, especially lately I've had a real thing with, you know, if you read people's opinions on things or you read things in the paper, people have a tendency to, they need to define things, they need to have, you know, every argument has to have two sides, and, you know, that's never the case. There's always all sorts of perspectives on all sorts of things, and so from that perspective I have real trouble narrowing things down to a really finite finite point. So yeah, I didn't do the three words thing. I don't know how I'd describe myself. I toyed with just putting in there Australian, British, male, but then I just thought that was a bit bland. But you know, they're all words that would describe me, I suppose.
What would you be doing if you weren't here?
Right now? Probably sleeping, because my partner was watching Dancing with the Stars and I don't watch it myself. Funnily enough, I fell asleep, so I probably would be still asleep on the couch, to be honest. That may have just been because I was waiting to come in here. I don't know, possibly watching a film. On an average night, that might be what I'd be doing. So.
Have you been looking forward to it?
I have, but I've only been doing my master's for 3 weeks, and I've been going back and forth between Norwich and London. It's kind of been pushed to the back of my mind, and as a consequence, I'm a little bit underprepared, sort of thing. But. When it did sort of pop back into my mind, I've got to do it. It was I think it's a bit mixed. I don't know. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I have been looking forward to it. But there's a bit of the, you know, again, the Saturday night, middle of the night, worried that people might, you know, not take too kindly to someone not entertaining them, sort of thing. So, but you know, I've taken the cameras up there, so they hopefully will entertain me. But we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go up on the
pitch? No, I think we've covered pretty much all. I can't think of anything in particular. No.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.